Another thing I would say for student athletes to consider is personality types. And so when you consult with these professionals, whether it's a mentor, a life coach, a social worker, you could also ask them, in therapy or in our sessions of you helping me, what is your style? Like, are you more structured? Do you do activities? Is this more talk therapy and we process? Are you gentle or are you like straight talk, no chaser type of person? So I think receiving help is great however you get it, but it really comes down to your goals and can this person help you meet them?
Hey there, you're listening to Virago Pod, a podcast that is dedicated to empowering and improving the physical and mental health of female athletes everywhere.
This podcast is brought to you by the Virago Project, a nonprofit organization that helps female athletes balance sports with life.
I'm your host, Emily McGee Zaslowski.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Tracy. Let's jump right into the episode.
Hi, Virago Warriors, and welcome back to episode 15. If you've listened to our previous episodes, almost all of them mentioned seeking some type of help if you need it, whether it's a sports psychologist, life coach, mentor, friend, teammate, coach, counselor, therapist. And today, we are super lucky to have Leah Howard, a sports counselor, joining us. And Leah goes into more detail on who might be right for you. It's really important because sometimes the concept of seeing a therapist can be overwhelming if you just type it into Google, like therapy near me. But Leah makes things really tangible, some great questions you should think about, and talks about the different types of therapists, not just in their background and what they're able to prescribe or help with, but also the type of like personality traits and how that therapy session will be centered and like what you'll get from it. I kind of want to challenge all of our listeners to look into why you're not doing therapy right now. Is it a social stigma? Is it money? Is it you just don't think you need it right now? And kind of challenge those things, right? There's free trials on therapy online during COVID. I've seen there's sliding scales for cost. There's always, honestly, always some area of your life that you can probably improve in. And it's always better to start, like Liam is going to mention, kind of before it's quote unquote too late, until you're already at that rock bottom situation where you're like, I need this. So I will bring on Taylor and Leah for this conversation. Again, it's an Instagram Live, so it's just going to be Taylor and Leah today as well. All right, let's get into today's episode.
Woohoo! Hey guys, today we are talking with sports counselor Leah Howard about how to find the right therapist. So this is for you specifically if you are a woman athlete, if you are in high school or college, or even if you're a professional athlete. So I see that Leah just joined now and she's probably going to request. Yep, there she is. And we'll get started in this conversation about finding the right therapist. Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Long time no see. So before you came in, I was just trying to fill the space and tell everyone who's listening what this conversation is about tonight. So we're going to be talking about how to find the right therapist. And this is definitely something that, I wish I would have gone and like sought therapy when I was in college and was an athlete, but B, like, where do I even begin? I have no idea like how to find the right therapist, where to go, what questions to ask. So I'm excited to have you here. You're a counselor, you know the deal. So yeah, can you just say like a little bit about yourself first and let them know why you're even qualified to be giving this advice?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I've been a former student athlete myself, so I've been on both sides of the fence. And so I'm currently an associate professional counselor. I first started out as a school counselor because I really had a passion for working with students. And so I wanted to specify that niche to student athletes because I felt like they just needed more attention. Like they have a very specific need and skill set that should be addressed in counseling. And so I've been advocating for mental health for a number of years. And so I feel really good about having these conversations.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And I'm totally with you. There is like a huge need for athletes in particular to find that help because I feel like they have such different needs than like just the average student. And also, like when they're looking for counseling, they need a counselor who can relate to those needs and sort of understand that, okay, this isn't just a student, like this is a student athlete. So, how should we start this conversation? Should we just start by asking or talking about what are the first steps like in finding help? Or maybe we should start here. At what point should you ask for help?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of times people wait until it's too late to seek help, right? And so I'm a big advocate for seeking therapy even before you need it, because you can always utilize those tools and unpack some stuff that you didn't know you needed to. And so a lot of times I want to start with the reasons why many student athletes don't seek counseling in the first place. And a lot of times that's involving fear, because stigma involved, lack of time. Student athletes and college athletes in general, and working people in general, just have a lack of time when it comes to fitting counseling services into their schedule. And then accessibility. So I said, like, those are the top three reasons. Because when I was a student athlete, we did have a counseling center on campus, which is fairly common. But I had no idea who was back there. Like, who would I see if I went to go seek these services? And so, accessibility and knowing where to find people and how to find them is probably like a couple barriers.
Yeah, and I just saw someone said admitting you need help is scary, and I wanted to touch on that too because I know, like, and maybe you can relate, you have the counseling and psychological services on campus if you're a student athlete. Nine times out of 10, they're there. But going in and asking for help, I feel like there's always a fear that like your counselors are going to say something to your coaches, or maybe that like your peers are going to see you walk in. So, what kind of like advice or I guess recommendations would you have for the student athlete who's afraid to go into those counseling and psychological services that's there for them on campus?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I would say, don't be afraid. Do as much research as you can. Even ask the therapist, and I want to get into that in the conversation, kind of like how to consult, the right questions to ask the therapist to build that relationship. But I think people are really starting to normalize the conversations around mental health. And so, I would say try your best not to be fearful, because at the end of the day, you are prioritizing your health, and that's so important with your everyday functioning. And to go back to your first question, as far as when do we know when to seek services, it's kind of when you start seeing a pattern of negative behaviors that are impacting your grades, your social life. Maybe you're being more isolated. And so when you start to see patterns that are really impacting you in negative ways, that is one of the first signs to know when it's time.
Yeah, definitely. And does it have to be actual behaviors, like negative behaviors that you see, or can it also be negative thoughts?
Oh, yeah. It can definitely be both. It can also be a lack of interest in the things that used to interest you. Maybe you've stopped participating in activities or hanging out with friends or doing some of the things that used to bring you joy. But it can definitely be thoughts and behaviors for sure.
Yeah. And before we go into the tips on how to find therapy, you mentioned too just about the stigma that exists and the fear of asking for help. And I was talking to a young athlete a few weeks ago who told me that she didn't want to seem weak, basically, when we were talking about just the idea of going to therapy and how it could be beneficial. And you just said, like, you're prioritizing your mental health when you go. And I totally agree. Like, going to therapy is not, it shouldn't be a symbol of weakness. If anything, it means you're a strong, responsible adult. You know, like go, you've got to go to the dentist, you've got to go to your doctor checkup. Like, women got to go to the OBGYN, like, go to your therapist and take care of yourself. Like, it's just another thing. There shouldn't be such a negative cloud around seeing a therapist, because your mental health is just another aspect of your total health. So
exactly. And there's power in being vulnerable. Like, that's what I hope people can take away. You know, you're not weak for doing this. If anything, you are showing a tremendous amount of strength for saying, hey, I'm okay for seeking out and asking for assistance for somebody who may be able to get me back to a level of playing field that I was at before.
Right. Or just keep you there if you need help to shoot. We all do. Exactly. Okay, so finding the right therapist is tough. I've been to therapy before and, like, had a counselor, and then, like, didn't, like, things just fizzled out, and then waited a while and found another one. So I know that finding the right person that you feel comfortable with, like, that really matters. Like, because this person, like, things about your life, like, a lot of people want to feel like, okay, you really get me. So what is the first step in even finding someone, like a mental health professional who would be compatible for you and, you know, what you need?
Sure. I think the first question going in is asking yourself, how important is it that I have a therapist who meets certain characteristics, race, age, gender, presenting sexual orientation, ethnicity, religion? And so defining what type of therapist you would prefer to have is probably the first step. Because at the end of the day, so research has shown that the most effectiveness comes from the relationship. And so you don't necessarily have to have someone who meets every single criteria, nor should you limit yourself if you can't find exactly what you're looking for in your area. But you want to be seen and heard and be able to have a relationship with somebody who you can be vulnerable with. And so sometimes that comes with having certain characteristics that you prefer.
Yeah. And so, okay. So can we make up, like, just an imaginary student athlete and maybe give her, like, a profile and say, like, okay, what therapist should this student athlete go look for? So let's say her name is Sandy. Okay. Sandy is, let's say she is a college junior. She plays field hockey. Her schedule's tight. She's also, like, a biology major. She struggles with depression, and anxiety. And she is a person of color. Okay. So, like, what might Sandy want in a therapist, and what resources can she use to make sure that she finds the right one?
Okay, I like this. I like this a lot because it personalizes the experience. So in counseling, we have this thing called triaging. I mean, it's in a lot of medical professions, but it's where you do kind of like a top three. What are the priorities? So for one, you want to make sure the person is qualified to deal with your needs. I heard you say she struggles with depression and anxiety. So she may want to find somebody who specializes in addressing those concerns.
Okay.
It's also okay if she asks the therapist, you know, have you had other clients who have similar needs, or have you ever dealt with other student athletes or college students? And so asking them their experience in dealing with someone with her similar circumstances could be very impactful. And then also, there was another research study I read that said age, race, and gender are endorsed by student athletes, but they aren't necessarily requirements, but that student athletes prefer someone who's familiar with sports. They didn't really have to play sports, but they kind of understand the pressures and the type of characteristics that come with being a student athlete. And so she could also ask the therapist, are they familiar with dealing with athletes and the unique needs of athletes too?
Yeah, I can definitely see there being just, like, some huge gaps between, like, a therapist who does not understand athletics, never was an athlete, never had any athletes come into their practice, and, like, an athlete who might come to them and ask for help, because you're explaining all of these things and all of the pressure, and if there's just a gap of knowledge there, then maybe things could just feel out of touch or like unconnected. And then, so like expectations wise, so Sandra, did we call her Sandra? Sandra. So Sandra finds a therapist who understands athletes, who specializes in depression and anxiety because that's what she struggles with. And she happens to have hours during the time that she doesn't have practice, so it all works out or whatever. How long should Sandra wait before like things really start rolling? Because you don't just like, I feel like you, like the therapist has to learn more about you over a few sessions. Like, when does it actually start to feel like, okay, we're making progress, like this is going in the right direction? Does it take one session? Does it take a few sessions? We don't want Sandra to just give up on going to counseling after like, a month.
Sure.
So what should the timeline look like where it's like really starting to have an impact and helping her out?
Yeah. So that really just depends. Everyone has individual unique needs, but that is a great question to ask during the consultation process. When you're describing your problem, you could get a gauge from the therapist on how long typically do they think it might take. Some people see their therapist long term. Others might go for 8 sessions or so. Others might go for a semester. And so it really just depends on how intense the needs are. Some people, I would say on average, some people might start to see changes in their thinking habits maybe after 4 sessions or so. But I mean, that's just kind of a range. Everyone is different. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So Sandra's on her way to feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Happy for her. And where should Sandra go? Let me take out Sandra. Okay. We're talking about the student athlete. All right. Where should a student athlete or anyone who needs therapy go if they're looking for help that's not on campus? So say they're just like, I don't want to use the campus counseling services. I'm too scared to go in. Like, it's just off the board. What are some resources that are maybe like online or, that might be available like in their local communities that they can be like, okay, this is where I can find a therapist?
Okay. So there's a couple things. Of course, there's like Psychology Today and a lot of people know about that. And that's totally a resource you can use, but students don't always have the funds to get therapy. And so OpenPathCollective.org provides a directory of therapists who have agreed to sliding scale fees. And so they might range from $30 to $50 a session typically. And so you can find them based on your state. And so that's a really good directory to use. Another thing you can look at, sometimes there are community clinics that offer free services or low rate services. Sometimes you can ask therapists if they provide pro bono services, because sometimes as a part of their counseling centers and just philanthropic efforts, they do provide free services. There's also group therapy, which gives another affordable option, because sometimes individual can be quite expensive depending on how long you do it for. And so asking about group therapy options could also be affordable. And then also sometimes hospital settings and behavioral health settings, like I worked at Grady Hospital in Atlanta, and they actually provide free therapy services for those that qualify.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned group therapy. So what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea, but it sounds kind of cool. Like maybe I can make friends.
Yeah. So there's open groups and closed groups. And so closed groups, they start with a certain number of people, maybe 6 to 10, and they maybe last for about 8 weeks, but that group remains the same. Nobody can come in to the group once it's gotten started. And then there are open groups that are continuous and running. And so group topics can range from depression to perfectionism to alcoholism to trauma. Sometimes they're based upon age. But there's such a variety, and it really depends on the therapist specialization. But I know a number of people who really like groups because, like you were saying, as far as friendships and relationships, you start really building relationships with people and looking forward to seeing them week to week in the group sessions, which can really give you something to look forward to, and it helps to normalize what you're experiencing. Because in group, when you see others who are kind of experiencing something similar, it helps you kind of realize, okay, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah, exactly. And then another question that isn't necessarily related to finding a therapist, but maybe referring a friend or a teammate or encouraging them to go get therapy. So let's pull it back to Sandra, our girl, okay? So her teammate Becky notices that she's lost interest in her normal hobbies and she's isolating herself and she just seems down. How would Becky approach Sandra and say, like, hey, like, I'm worried about you. I think maybe you should go seek help. How do you even approach that situation?
And that can be really tough because sometimes if people feel like they are being suggested that they need help, then people are noticing and they start to collapse into the shell of vulnerability. And so sometimes just asking, how are you doing today? What are some things that you've been doing for self-care? Are you feeling like yourself? And just having an open dialogue. And then maybe as the dialogue continues somewhere in there, asking, have they considered therapy and resources? But definitely going in with a gentle touch. If you approach it from a stance of you need therapy, you need to go, or even if you say this worked for me, you need to do it, sometimes people can shut down and sometimes people aren't always receptive to that. But now, in the age of social media, it seems like people are more receptive, but sometimes it just takes somebody asking them. Like I recently posted a video on my page from this popular TV show, All American, which deals with student athletes. And so this past week they actually brought up a simple dialogue about going to therapy. And so one of the characters on there just simply asked, like, have you thought about therapy? And at first the guy thought she was talking about physical therapy, but she was like, no, prioritizing your mental health. And he was open to that because, like we said earlier in the conversation, it's helping you reach maximum capacity when you look at all sides of things. So,
Definitely. So, another question. What's the difference then? So, if I'm an athlete, I might be inclined to go to a sports psychologist. Okay. Is there a difference between the help you would receive from a sports psychologist and another counselor or psychologist or mental health professional?
Yes. So that's a great question. So sports psychologists are typically trained in mindfulness skills. So you might do visualization or things that assist you when you're in the game playing. Some activities that you could do while you're at home, but it's more like mental skills training, and sometimes they refer to it as mental toughness. And there are some really great sports psychologists out there who also address further mental health needs, but typically their training involves mental skills and performance. Counselors look at more of a holistic perspective of the person, in regards to diagnoses like anxiety and depression. And it can be on a continuous scale. So they're trained to deal with all the way from severe mental illness to maybe even lighter forms of talk therapy. And so, yes, exactly like you said, there are different specialization areas.
Okay, so if you're someone maybe then who is suffering from performance anxiety, like on the court, or struggling with confidence in your game or whatever sport you play, and everything else maybe okay, but you're really struggling in this area, maybe your priority then is to go to a sports psychologist.
Correct.
You're struggling with that and general anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, whatever else is going on. Maybe you need to go to a counselor or general psychologist.
Yeah. I mean, I would say so. And there's a lot of gray in terms of specializations, because even certain professionals, they can get more credentials beyond their training, which allows them to address certain needs. But yes, you hit the nail on the head as far as a general terminology of it.
Okay. So we've got the two kind of different routes. And then how do you feel about going to seek maybe mentors who aren't licensed therapists, or I know there's like a lot of life coaches out there right now. How do you feel about athletes who seek that path as well? What do you think?
I think it really depends on what their goals are. So I would encourage people, before they even get into the process of seeking help, I would encourage them to write down specifically, what are my goals? And then see who might be best in terms of goodness of fit for helping with that, because life coaches, they might be a fit for what you're looking for, and they might be affordable for what you're looking for, and you might have access to them. But if you're needing something more therapeutic, then they don't necessarily have those qualifications to do so and address those needs. But another thing I would say for student athletes to consider is personality types. And so when you consult with these professionals, whether it's a mentor, a life coach, a social worker, you could also ask them, you know, in therapy or in our sessions of you helping me, what is your style? Like, are you more structured? Do you do activities? Is this more talk therapy and we process? Are you gentle, or are you like straight talk, no chaser type of person? You know, so I think receiving help is great however you get it, but it really comes down to your goals and can this person help you meet them? And sometimes you don't even know what your goals are, but can this person help you see your way clear to figuring that out?
Yeah. Yes. And then thing you just mentioned, so you mentioned like talk therapy, just different styles and different approaches that a counselor might have. Can you name and just describe a few different styles? Because I feel like sometimes when you're looking at a counselor's profile and they're like specialized in like CBT and like other things, and just like, what even is that? Like, how is it going to help me? So what are the different kind of approaches, or common approaches, I guess, and what are the benefits of them?
Sure. And there's, I mean, honestly, Taylor, there's so many. There's like 20 or more. So DBT is one that you might see commonly. It's dialectical behavioral therapy, and it deals with like the here and now, being present, mindfulness. And then you have person-centered, that is looking at you as the whole person, your characteristics, how do you function in your world with your environment, the people in your relationships. They're solution focused, which kind of just gets straight to the point. It's more of like a short-term therapy.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it really just depends. I mean, there's a number of them. I personally like interpersonal therapy.
Okay.
And the reason being is because I feel like it fits a number of different clients, but it focuses more on realistic goals that the person has for themselves, you know, and other people. So let's say the person is struggling with relationships. Mm-hmm. Interpersonal may focus on how beneficial is it that you have a relationship with this person? Is this something that is achievable, and is it worth pursuing any further? Mm-hmm. So, you know, different therapists use different styles.
Yeah.
Some are more effective than others or not. It really depends. So.
I like that style that you just mentioned. I feel like if I was a therapist, I would do that, because I like to break things down. Like, do I need it? No, what's the purpose? Do I need it? What's the next step? Like, it's either in or out. I like that a lot. I'm trying to think. So do you, can you think of any other tools or tips that student athletes, women student athletes in particular might or could be useful for finding a therapist? I don't want to leave out anything important, but you know, sure. You don't know what you don't know. So yeah, anything else you can think of?
So spirituality is also a big piece in a lot of people's lives. And so you could also consider, do you want a faith-based therapist or do you want someone who's faith-sensitive? And faith-sensitive counselors are those who understand the role faith plays in your life. And they're encouraging and respectful of that and encouraging you to stay connected with that part of your life. Faith-based is more like they're integrating it and probably basing the therapy itself around your religious beliefs. And that requires a special type of training, but that's also another consideration you might have in terms of connection and healing process.
Yeah, definitely. I can see how that would be important. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't, I'm out of questions about this. Is there, I mean, yeah, I guess what advice would you give yourself then as like a youngin looking for going to therapy for the first time? You know, is there anything you wish you would have done differently or knew about beforehand that you would like to share with everyone who's listening now?
Sure. I would say consider your as many free resources as you can first. You know, mm-hmm. if you are currently enrolled and on campus, see what they offer and try it out and see what is the wait time like, what are the therapists like, because you might find someone that you have a relationship with and you can continue to have that relationship as you progress through your time at your university. And then from there, don't be afraid to shop around. I know I was one who it was more like one and done. Let me find one and then this is it. I don't want to spend time hopping around, but it really is okay to find someone who can meet you where you are. And so I would also say like on websites now, most therapists, I would say, I mean, I don't know any therapists that don't have websites. Most of them, you can kind of pick up their style and who they are as a person through their website. And so do as much research as you can. You know, is this person credentialed? Is this person going to meet the needs that I have? And so don't be afraid to schedule those 15-minute consultations and really, you know, talk to these people.
Yeah. All good advice. If I had to give advice to myself going back, I would just say go. <That's> my, you need to go. But yeah, this was really good, Leah, and informative too. And hopefully anyone who listened to this knows now, like, A, you don't have to be afraid to seek help. Like, it's at this point, it's 2021. Okay. Like, we're getting over a lot in the last 2000 years, okay, since this calendar started. And, you know, you can prioritize your mental health just as much as you can prioritize any other aspect of your health. So we learned that. We learned the different types of therapists you might need to be looking for. We learned how to like create your own personal profile. Like, okay, what am I struggling with? Who am I? Like, do I need someone who identifies like closely to me? Like, is that important to me? Spirituality, race, background, all of that. So yeah, I feel like we just touched on so much and it was really, really informative. So thank you.
Oh yeah. No, I love having conversations like these because to be honest, Taylor, so many people don't go because they just don't know where to get started. And don't have anyone they can ask because if they ask their friends, sometimes their friends don't have that information. Sometimes their parents don't have that information. And so I appreciate you for having this platform and allowing me to share some information.
You can come on here whenever you want. I am not a therapist. I am not a mental health professional. I just care. So come on and like disseminate all the knowledge you want, because you're the people that we're trying to push the audience towards. So thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Leah, again for being here. And I'm going to leave, once I save this video, I'm going to leave openpath.org, right? Is that the
openpathcollective.org?
Oh, wait, can you say that again? Openpath.
Openpath Collective.
Oh, collective. Okay, got that. .org in the comments so that people can go in there and find therapists who kind of work on like a sliding scale rate. Mm-hmm. And yes, if you are on campus, use those counseling and psychological services if you can, especially if you're there now, because I'm telling you, when those insurance and medical bills come, once you get out of college, it's real. All right. So you might as well tackle this right now.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Leah. I appreciate it. And yeah, come back whenever.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Bye.